Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Again, Romans 3, verse 27. Where then is boasting? It was excluded. Through what sort of principle? One of works? No, but through a principle of faith. My sisters and my brothers, think with me for just a second about opposites. One way to think about them is to say that two things which are opposite cannot occupy the same space at the same time. So light and darkness cannot fill the same room at the same time. You can't have growing light that drives back darkness or vice versa, but light and dark are opposite. So are love and hatred, truth and error, and any number of things like that. Today is the festival of the Reformation of the Church, a day to remember, a day to rejoice, and also a day ourselves to be changed again. Since the Lord of the Church has not yet returned in glory, you may have noticed, and so we need to be reformed in who we are as Christians and how we think and believe and live as Christians. Most of us are familiar with the three solas or the three alones of the Reformation: grace alone, faith alone, scripture alone. The reading from Romans 3 takes us directly to that middle one, faith alone. That's where Paul is living and moving in Romans 3. Question: what is the opposite of faith? Well, in a really very obvious way, you just put your head down and read the reading. The answer is there. The opposite is works. Not works of the law, but faith in Christ is what gets a person into a right relationship, gets them right in the sight of God. But let me ask the question again and offer just a slightly different answer. What is the opposite of faith? What cannot occupy the same space as faith at the same time? The answer is boasting. Paul says, where is boasting? It was excluded. It was shut out. There's no room for it. Boasting is the opposite of faith. Now, why would that be? I can suggest two things about boasting. First of all, boasting spends its time looking in the wrong direction and looking at the wrong thing. Eloy Gonzalez preached a fine sermon yesterday on Luke 18 that perhaps many, if not quite all of us, were able to be here to hear, and that was precisely the issue in Luke 18. I thank you, God, that I am not like other people. I. It's a little obvious, but there are clever ways of boasting. Over the years, one of the things that gets said to me, maybe perhaps especially because I'm the academic advisor to the first year class, and when guys don't know who else to talk to, they talk to me, is that being here at Concordia Seminary is harmful to your devotional life. I've heard that a lot, and I believe it. I've asked the question, why would that be? And there's probably more than one answer. But I wonder if it's because we do too much boasting around here. Too much looking at ourselves, looking in the wrong direction, and comparing ourselves with others. Now, there are two ways this works, of course, depending on whether you have a neurosis or a character disorder. Now, Hartung and Mars don't want you to take this distinction to the mat, But I heard once that a difference between a neurosis and a character disorder is that a neurosis makes you unhappy, and a character disorder makes everybody else unhappy. Whatever. You can boast, look in the wrong direction, look at yourself, and despise the people around you. Or you can boast, look in the wrong direction, look at yourself, and you can despise yourself. The one is just successful boasting. But both are boasting because you're looking in the wrong direction and at the wrong thing. It's the opposite of faith. I suspect that you can stop right now and imagine a very particular person in this community. Maybe it's a student, maybe it's a staff person, maybe it's a faculty member, maybe it's a member of somebody else's family. You can stop and admit that you have been boasting, comparing yourself, perhaps despising. Boasting is the opposite of faith. It drives out faith because you're looking in the wrong direction. The second thing about boasting is this: it talks. Boasting talks. It loves to talk. And it loves to talk about itself. I, as in the parable on which we heard the sermon yesterday. Now you can, again, be clever about this. You can mask the I. You can wear a mask appropriate on a day. We don't like to admit it, but it's also Halloween, and people wear masks. And so you can wear the mask of Orthodox Lutheran theologian, or the mask of ablaze mission person, or the mask of contemporary worship man. There's all kinds of masks, and we hide behind them, but we're really just talking about ourselves and about our passion, and about our zeal and why we're right and the other person isn't. Boasting talks, and there's a lot of noise. It might be only in your head, but you're looking at the wrong thing and you're talking a lot. And that's why in verse 19, the law has to come in. Paul says, whatever the law speaks, it speaks to those who are in connection with the law, so that every mouth may be shut. Where there is boasting, faith cannot remain. And boasting grows little by little. It can drive back faith. Paul says, very interestingly, in verse 27, where then is boasting? It was excluded. Not, oddly, as our English versions read, it is excluded, but I'm very happy to say, aorist indicative passive, third person singular, it was excluded. How did it happen? Paul says, through a principle of works. No, the opposite of boasting that drove it away is the principle of faith. What is it about faith that has excluded boasting? Faith looks at the right thing. It looks in the right direction. Something that someone else has displayed for faith to see. Someone has put the right thing forward. God put forth Christ. And when God did that, boasting was excluded. God put forward Jesus for faith to see. What do you see when you see Jesus? You see a sacrifice by which guilt and filth are taken away. His bloody death was enough to make you clean. No, don't look at yourself to check. Don't look in the wrong direction. Don't check to see if you're clean enough. Look at Christ, the sacrifice, that cleanses you and strips away your boasting. Faith looks at Christ, whom God displayed and set forward as a sacrifice, Paul says. What do you see when you look at Christ? You see God's justice. How evil is sin? So evil that it is tangible, it is real, it is destructive, and it cannot be ignored. Sin must be dealt with. And the righteous judge has dealt with your sin for centuries. As his plan worked its way out, God passed over the sins formerly committed. He did not yet fully and definitively deal with your sins, but he never lost sight of what needed to be done. And then one day, he excluded boasting, because you look around at what God did, and you and I are nowhere to be found. Nowhere. One man is there. God displayed him. Jesus of Nazareth, in his own body, taking the justice of God against sin and dying the consequence of my boasting and yours, and the boasting of the whole world. And Jesus rose from the dead. He isn't dead anymore, and he will never be dead again. He lives. And so guilt is undone, and death is undone. Faith looks at what God has put forward for us to see. And on the day that Jesus died and the day that Jesus rose, boasting was excluded. Faith drives it out. And boasting talks a lot, but faith covers the mouth and is silent, at least at first. Faith is silent and lets someone else do the talking. And God speaks. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. My God, why have you forsaken me? Peace be with you." The judge speaks to you, and he says, "Fully accepted. Slate clean. Not guilty. You belong to me." Dear friends, let faith drive out the boasting. Once again this day, look to Christ. Look to his body and blood as you receive him this day. Be silent and listen to him as he says, "You belong to me." And then, all boasting excluded, we will leave this place, and strangely, we will have something very good to say. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.